Hallelujah. It's an amazing truth. It's something that we have to understand. Glory to God. Why are you where you are today? Why do you have the problems you're facing today? Why do you face the challenges that you face today? How can you come out of them? How can you maintain what God has given to you? How can you remain in a good position that God has placed you in? How can all these things be? Can your life actually be triumphant continually? Is it possible? Can you be a success from day to day? Is it possible? Can you live a victorious life? Is it possible? Can you actually be happy in your life continually? Is it possible? It is possible. Jesus said, anything is possible. How can a man live his whole life in blindness and then not to know it? And you know, a blind man doesn't know what it is to see because he only sees darkness. Doesn't know what light is. And you can never describe light to him. Nobody can describe light. No, not to a blind man. The only thing that can describe light is a greater light. Some people have also said that Moses wrote the book of Job. Why? Because the book of Job really is the oldest of the Bible writing. So I believe maybe, Moses must have written that. But here's the point. Here's the point. Whoever the writer was didn't see what he should have seen or didn't see beyond the revelation that he had. God is not the author of evil. This would have brought some form of confusion. Can the devil move God? Because there he says, God said to Satan, you have moved me to destroy him without cause. But James tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man with evil. Satan cannot move God to do something. You still in this place? I want you to begin to understand what's going on here. Look at it. In verse 5. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So when Satan fought from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, severe boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown, do you understand? To his forehead, he had boils, severe boils, until he had to hide himself from everybody. He was in terrible pain. Verse 8, and it took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die! Why did she say that? I want to tell you why she said that. No, she was not being evil. She was just being ignorant. I want you to understand, she was a wonderful woman. You know, she's been knocked a lot of times for being even almost an idol worshiper. No, she was not that mean. Here was the trouble. She had seen the husband suffer so much. And the husband was longing for death. And she said, let me tell you. As long as you are hopeful, you are not going to die. She was fed up, tired of seeing her husband suffer. Now all his body was full of boils. She thought, dear God, what is this? And she said, curse God and you'll be able to die. You want to die? If you curse God, he'll kill you. Then at least all this trouble will be over. See, she was using human thinking. You see that? Just like Sarah, when she said to Abraham, yay, now I know how you're going to have a child. You know I'm about 90 years old. You know I can't have a child anymore. You know that, don't you? Yeah, all right. Now, you take Hagar, sleep with her, and you have a child. That's the revelation. That's what God meant, that he will have a son. And Abraham said, that's smart. He said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. And I said, Job's attitude was a good attitude. And I also said, we need to check the writing. Who is talking to us? The revelation that we are being given, where are we getting it from? Is it a revelation before the death of Christ? Is it a revelation after the death of Christ? Because the cross helped us to see the Father heart of God. All right, now let's compare this. Now, would you mark that verse 21 where he said, naked came out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. And then where he said, the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Now, go to Romans chapter 11, 29, please. Is that not clear that when God gives you, he doesn't take it away? Now, this man said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Now, but we all saw that it was Satan who came and took those things away. It wasn't God. Now, remember, there was a hedge of protection built around Job. Who built it? Talk to me. Who built it? Now, why did he build it? It was a hedge of protection. Protection from who? From Satan. Not from Job's friends. It was a spiritual hedge because Satan doesn't respect physical fences. It was a spiritual hedge. So he wasn't being protected from human beings by God's hedge. God built the hedge. So it means God protected Job from Satan. And it was God who made Job rich. And he has said here, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Which means God doesn't change his mind about his gifts. When he gives to you, he never takes it back from you. He never does it. If you ever lose anything that God gives to you, hear this. God didn't take it from you. You know what God does? If he's fed up with what you're doing, you know what he does? He just gives someone else what he has given you and you add to it. And leave you with yours getting older and older. That's all. He never takes it from you. He is abundantly resourceful. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. See, Job still did not sin against God. He maintained his integrity. But look at this. Job didn't, he had the right attitude, but he had the wrong thinking. Come on here. Are you getting the idea now? Job had the right attitudes, but he had the wrong thinking. He was a humble man. He believed in God. He would not curse God. He was committed to God. But he was thinking wrongly. And listen, when you think wrong, you will believe wrong. And if you believe wrong, you will think wrong. You see that? If the information that you have is wrong, your thinking will be wrong. Your believing will be wrong. And here is where many people have their problems in their lives. Here is where the problems really start. It starts from the information they have. Job was sure that God cursed his problems. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, verse 2 says, and the earth was formless and empty. Have you seen that? It says, God created the heavens and the earth. Then it says, the heavens and the earth being created by God, the earth was formless and empty. Where there is a great difference. Something that ought to produce questions in your mind. In verse 2. Did God create a formless earth? Okay, look for them. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Is God a God of darkness? How could he create the earth in darkness? Watch. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. Now, another version reads that the earth was a chaotic mass. How could God create the earth formless, empty, and in darkness? It's just not consistent with the character of God. See, any wise thinking person would want to question that. Is this consistent with the character of God? How could God create an earth and it will be dark? When the Bible says God is light. Oh. He says in him, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, in him there is no darkness at all. If for anything, his presence will give it light. It must mean that there is a timeless or undated difference between verse 1 and verse 2. And so, that causes you to begin to study the scriptures. To study the scriptures. And through study, you will discover, aha, aha. I'll just give you quickly what that background is. There you will discover where All these things we've been talking about, Satan was cast out of heaven and cast down to the earth and so on. That's where all that took place. Between verse 1 and verse 2. No, tell me, was Job correct? Now, there are people who will maintain that Job was right. In that it was God who did it. Satan saw an edge around Job. Who built it? Because Satan said to God, you have built a hedge around him. So, Satan saw it, God knew it was there, and both of them knew it was God who put it there. The only person who didn't know it was there was Job. Now, that hedge around Job, Satan could not go through it. If Satan had been able to go through it, he would have done it. He couldn't. So, he told God, you put a hedge there, and no one can go through it. That's the reason that guy has prospered. Number two, God would have to violate that principle if he broke the hedge. He should become the victim. So when Satan came and got to Job, it was because Job already broke the hedge. How did he break the hedge? The cancer in your body is not your grandmother's button. Because God put a hedge around you. If you serve God, he has a hedge around you. You say, the robbers broke into your house, they destroyed this, they destroyed that. What about the hedge? What happened to the hedge? Brothers and sisters, the day you were born again, you were fenced around. Glory to God. How can that fence be removed? If you read through the book of Proverbs, he will let you know, with your mouth you tear down a house. He said, with your words you can tear down the walls. And these are not talking about physical walls. Think about the walls of your life. The hedge around you. You tear down. Tear down the wall with your own mouth. How did Job successfully carry out this terrible, nefarious activity against himself? I'll show it to you. Book of Job chapter 3. You will see it now. What does the Bible say about fear? It says fear has what? Torment. Fear has torment. And who is the tormentor? Satan. And if fear has Satan in it, it means fear opens the door to Satan. You're not born with fear. Fear does not live in you. Fear is an outside force that you can welcome into your life. And brother, if you welcome fear into your life, you have welcomed the tormentor, Satan, into your life. Don't say, I don't know how he got into my family. You brought him in. Fear is a door. It's Satan's door. Is his chief door. When Job suffered all these things, he began to say from verse 20, wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which longed for death, but it cometh not. The man wanted to die. He was fed up of life. His business was down. His family was gone. His wife left him. Everything was down. And Job said, why am I still living? What is all this? What am I living for? You know, it's painful when you have been a big man. You know, when you've had everything. You've had all those official cars and all those drivers, you know, doing everything for you. And then all of a sudden, you have to stop the boss. You know what that means. Life just... And those who used to respect you, now look at you narrowly. Like, who is this? You feel like killing yourself. All right? Job was in this situation. To worsen it, his whole family was gone. Those who thought he was somebody, who thought he was serving God, were now asking him, where is your God? You call yourself a man of God. Where is your God? Those of us that don't even believe in God, we are enjoying more than yourself. And look at him. Suffering. And he says, why am I still living? He said, God has blocked my way. That's what he said. Verse 25 shows you the key. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Uh-oh. Can you see it now? This shows us the life that righteous man was living. He was a righteous man. He loved God, but he lived in fear. Can you see it now? See why you can be such a wonderful man, a great man of God. When terrible things begin to happen in your life, people will not know. Because they are not acquainted with spiritual laws. They will not know why such things happen. They said that man of God was traveling. Suddenly there was a ghastly motor accident and he died. I don't believe a man of God should die by accident like that. No. It's not right. Does that mean he was not a man of God? No! Great man of God! But that was not the right way to die. Look at Elisha. The Bible says he stood in the place of Elijah. He had tremendous experiences with God. Great miracles followed. The Bible says Elisha became sick. He was so sick that he died sick. And he was buried. The anointing was still in his bones. When a dead man was laid in his sepulcher, the Bible says when that dead man's body touched Elisha's bones, he came back to life. Why, with all that anointing, did Elisha die the death that he died? Ask yourself those questions. Somebody says, we can never understand God. He's not mysterious. So he's not confusing. He has shown us, he's given us his word. That if we will study his word, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He didn't say, my people are destroyed when I feel like tempting them. The writer there said, God said that Satan moved God to destroy Job without cause. Because no man could see the cause. Humanly speaking, Job had nothing wrong. But when Job began to say, I dare God. I want him to show up and show me where I did something wrong. I know my life. I've been perfect in every way. I want God to show up and then let him charge me with wrong. I don't know why I'm going through this. After God allowed him to die, then God showed up. When God showed up, he said, Job, can you tell me where darkness resides? He said, Job, I want you to tell me, where does the wind come from? He's trying to tell Job something. He's trying to tell Job, you don't know everything. And God began to question Job. He said, who is this that speaks without knowledge? Who is this that speaks without revelation of wisdom? Who are you, Job? And Job fell down. He said, why? You know, as God spoke from this side and turned over here. And God spoke from the other side. Ha! And God was speaking from everywhere. And Job began, my goodness. Oh boy, where is he talking from? He was everywhere. And Job fell down. He said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I'm so sorry, dear God. I thought I was somebody. I thought I knew something, but I repent. Why did he repent? Because when the perfect light of God shines, then you can really see. God said, you're talking without knowledge. There's a lot you don't know. I was judging you on the basis of your knowledge. When I said you were perfect, it was based on what you knew. There's so much more you don't know, Job. And some of that stuff that Job didn't know is what we have been given by the apostles in the New Testament. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Job was destroyed because he didn't have the revelation. He didn't know what Satan was like. The Bible says he's transformed. Satan is transformed into an angel of light. You can see that in 2 Corinthians, reading chapter 11 and in verse, let me give that to you, 14. In verse 14, you see that. He's transformed into an angel of light. When he begins to carry out his religious practice, you will think he knows everything. Now, I want us to serve God. Let us now be in the Spirit. Let us go into the presence of God. He's telling lies. You do not go into the presence of God. After you're born again, you're born in the presence of God. You live in the presence of God. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And he's spiritualizing. We come like as you have gone out. We don't go out and we don't come in. We are born in there. And by the Holy Ghost, we live in there. You understand? Your life is not for destruction. You have to understand who your real enemy is. And when you discover what God has given to you, you hold on to it. They don't tell you that you are barren. You cannot be barren. No, after you're born again, everything in your body is already touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. There's life in you. You cannot be a failure anymore. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God. All things, doesn't matter what you go through in your life, all things will turn out for your good. That means you cannot be disadvantaged. But when we don't understand this, we live a life of the victim. We are the victim. We don't know why we're going through this. Look at Job. He said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Now we can see the kind of man he was. He was living in fear and nobody knew. He greatly feared. Nobody knew. But he spoke boldly outside. But he was a righteous man. Your righteousness is not enough, brother. It will not stop the devil. Your holiness will not stop the devil. You have to understand that devil, he can show up anywhere. He can show up anytime. But you have to understand that with your lips, you can utter knowledge and stay him where he ought to be. Just because you've been going to church doesn't mean your business will succeed. Just because you've been studying the Bible doesn't mean everything's going to be all right. Are you hearing me? You have to have it in your mouth. You have to speak it out. Don't tell me that because you stay clean, that's why there's no disease in your body. You have to understand this. Oh, it's not coming from the water. It's not coming from the food. There's a devil out there that you have to be aware of and keep him where he belongs. Defensive Christianity will never help. Don't say, well, when the devil shows up, I don't know what to do. Don't wait for him to show up. Put him where he ought to be. Look at Job. For the thing, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. He was afraid of losing what he had. He was afraid that one day all of these things will be gone. You look at that guy who's always looking out through the window. He's afraid of something. There's a shaking. There's a noise in the night. It's 2 a.m. His heart is beating. You're letting the devil come. Are you hearing me? What are you afraid of? The one outside should be afraid of you. But when you become afraid, fear hath torments. Fear hath torments. Fear opens the door to the devil. This man was greatly afraid. Now, let me tell you, that was what God saw. When Satan was with God in heaven, and they were talking, it got to the time that God looked and saw that Job had broken the hedge. I'll show you how he broke it. Now, the fear was not enough to break it. The fear was there. But I tell you, the Bible says, sin, it says, desire, lust, when it has conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Alright? Now, the same thing happens with fear. As you nurse it, you nurture fear. It grows, it grows, it grows until you begin to talk fear. Until people can begin to find fear in your voice, in your words. Until you begin to act fear. Fear grows. It grows up like a giant until it binds you. And everybody can now tell you're really living in fear. Look at the next verse. Look at what Job said. He said, verse 26, I was not in safety. Is that true or false? It's false, because there was a hedge about Job. Job said he was not safe. Neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet. He said, I was not safe. I had no rest. I was always troubled. And I didn't keep quiet about it. I always told everybody, watch out. I don't know what might happen to me. If anything happens to me, please watch out. He always voiced his fear. He said, I was not quiet about it. I told everybody. The man was talking his fears. I don't know what is happening in my body. It looks like I'm losing weight. I don't understand. I'm losing weight. I was 75. Now I'm 68. I don't know what is happening. Maybe I ate something. I don't understand. If I die, please bury me here. If I die, give the land and so place to that man. Look at what you're going through. You know what you're doing? You're cutting out your life with your tongue. Do you know why wicked people live long? Have you noticed that some wicked people live long? Can I tell you why? Wicked tyrants live long. Dictators live long. You know why? Their mouth. They've come to that point in their life. They're not afraid of anybody. They don't talk fear. They talk as though the whole world is theirs. They forget that one day it will come to an end. But they have been able to prolong their days with their talking. They may not understand the principles. But brother, whether you believe in the law of gravity or not, if you jump up, you will come down. You see that? Learn to use your mouth. Learn to use it. With your mouth you can order your life. James chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that your mouth can defile your body. And when it says defile, it's not talking about ceremonial uncleanness. It means that it can bring spots. It can bring wrong things into your life. When you discover that your body is beginning to have some disease, some infirmity, check your tongue. The Bible says the tongue can cause the body not to function rightly. Your tongue. I don't know how my heart is beating. This seems like it's beating faster and faster. Why don't you use your tongue to stabilize it? Use your tongue to stabilize in the name of Jesus. If you think it's not beating right, tell it to beat right in the name of Jesus. That is better than telling everybody what the devil is doing to you. You are testifying of the devil. I said, but if you don't tell somebody what you're going through, how will they be able to help you? Okay.
Listen, grace is not, grace doesn't play fair. Favor doesn't look for who is qualified, brother. I may not be qualified to have what I have, but I have what I have. Hallelujah. You know, some guys believe they are more qualified than myself. I agree. It's true. But God looked at me. I am the favored of the Lord. I am so blessed. Nobody can change it. Because the one who favors me is bigger than everybody. He is a real biggie. Look around. No one can change him. He favors me.